Welcome to Professionalism Customer Service in the Healthcare Environment, Unit 6, Team and Small Group Communication. In this unit, we will be learning the group communication definition and what are called tiered characteristics of groups. In addition, we will explore goals, norms, and cohesiveness of groups. We address stages of team communication related to the formation and dismissal of a small team. Finally, networks and sociograms are introduced. Small group communication is the process of sharing information with members of a group who are interdependent based on a common goal. Both verbal and nonverbal means are used. Team size can vary depending on the goal of the team. Generally, teams between 5 and 12 members are common. Some teams are composed of an odd number of people to allow for a majority vote. Tiered characteristics serve as a way to categorize groups along a rank measure. A common tier used is focused on process orientation. Process orientation addresses the time spent in the group setting relating to and getting along with people in the group. Content orientation refers to the time spent discussing the tasks and goals of the group. Teams or groups can also be categorized in terms of a decision-making continuum. At one end of the continuum is unilateral decision-making. This is where all decisions are made in a top-down approach. An example would be a healthcare team that includes a physician and his or her employees, such as a registered nurse, clerical staff, etc. If the physician makes all the decisions and the rest of the staff carry out the decisions, that would be an example of unilateral decision-making. At the other end of the continuum is shared decision-making, which typically is an interdisciplinary team model where decisions are made by the team. We will now discuss synergistic groups, which are very successful shared decision-making groups. Synergistic healthcare groups are those where the individuals work together to accomplish something that the individuals could not accomplish by themselves. The healthcare delivery process is very interdependent and requires teamwork in order to function properly. Synergistic groups have three key elements. They are creating a sense of ownership, developing team synergy, and becoming performance-based. The first key element of synergistic groups, creating a sense of ownership, includes building and maintaining trust and commitment to the team and mission. It also includes instilling a sense of accomplishment. The second key element, developing team synergy, includes assuring congruence between individual members and the group mission, being a good listener, and encouraging individual participation and empowerment. Group conflict management and active consensus building must also occur. Finally, the third key element, becoming performance-based, entails prioritizing and setting goals, establishing decision-making rules, and measuring results. Similar to the process and content of group membership, cohesion or cohesiveness can also be measured on a continuum. Cohesion refers to pulling together and being unified in purpose. A cohesive group can be measured when group members use the words we or us, rather than words like I or me. How often we, us, or I is used can indicate the extent of group cohesiveness. There are several factors associated with group cohesiveness and outcomes. These include goal clarity, where each group member fully understands the goals of the group. Similarity, among group members, how alike they are, and democratic leadership styles, where group members share in decision-making. In addition, research suggests that higher group cohesion yields numerous benefits. For example, higher cohesiveness yields increased member interaction, increased attention by group members, and higher attendance in meetings. Group members will also be able to more effectively influence other group members. All of this will lead to higher productivity as measured by meeting group goals, as well as less conflict within the group. According to research, small groups with a clear set of objectives and goals function most effectively. There are two types of group goals. Individual goals refer to the goal that each individual is set for him or herself. Note that the individual goals may or may not be related to the purpose of the group. For instance, one group member may participate in the group to help with his or her understanding of an organization. Another group member might have an individual goal of having more visibility with people from outside of her department. The second type of goal is a group goal. These are usually shared by the group members and are related to their interdependence as members of the group. Remember, the group was called together because they have the right mix of skills or knowledge to accomplish a goal. Both types of goals occur simultaneously. That is, the members have both their own individual goals and also shared group goals. There are several characteristics of effective group goals. Realistic goals are goals that can be achieved by the group members. Goals that are not possible to achieve can lead to frustration and detachment by members of the group. Effective group goals are both realistic and clearly stated. They will also be restated frequently to be sure the group continues to be on the same page. All individual members must be able to easily understand what the goals are. Realistic and understandable group goals are more likely to be completed successfully. And as we said, one way to keep the group focused on the goals is to restate them at the beginning of every meeting or as frequently as needed. Objectives are the steps necessary to complete each goal. Objectives must be meaningful. A tip here is to use the SMART objective criteria to help you define and write objectives. Objectives should be specific, meaning they are concrete, detailed, and well-defined. They should also be measurable. That means stating them in terms of numbers, a quantity, or by comparison. They must be achievable, which means it is possible for the group to achieve them, and they must also be realistic. This means the group can meet the objectives, given the time and resources they have. The objectives should be time-bound, that is, there should be a defined timeline for an objective to be completed. Small group norms refer to the rules of behavior associated with group membership. There are two categories of small group norms. The first category is overt norms. Overt norms refer to written or verbally stated rules of behavior, or ways to get the group work done. This might include a written dress code or a way to name versions of files. The second category is covert norms. This refers to rules that are neither written nor stated, but ones that most people in the group understand. An example of this could be an understanding that business casual does not mean wearing jeans. While violation of overt norms may result in written or verbal reprimand, if someone violates covert norms, it might be met with expressions of surprise or disapproval and other forms of nonverbal communication rather than formal discipline. Violation of covert norms can still negatively affect the group and its work. Group leaders provide guidance to group members to help them achieve the goals and the supporting objectives. In doing so, effective communication skills are required. Research suggests that group leaders who communicate personally with group members help create groups that have better communication between members. In turn, this increases the sense of belonging among members of a group, which is another example of group cohesiveness. Moreover, effective group leaders utilize their position and communication skills to assist group members with overcoming obstacles that are encountered. Within a group, the members assume different roles related to accomplishing the task. It is estimated that about 75% of group roles relate to communication. There are a variety of such roles. The initiator-contributor suggests new ideas or shares a different way of viewing the group task. The information seeker asks for clarification regarding the problem being discussed. The information giver provides facts or personal experience relevant to problems discussed. The opinion seeker clarifies values involved with the goal or task. The opinion giver states his or her beliefs relevant to the group discussion. The elaborator expands upon ideas discussed using an example or providing support for a suggestion made. The coordinator summarizes ideas and suggestions made by the group members. The orienter defines the current position of the group in regard to the goals. The recorder writes these suggestions or other actions agreed upon by the group. Additional member roles can be described in terms of positive roles, such as those that contribute to building a strong group and making progress towards the goals. Roles can also have a negative effect on the group, such as a dissenter who creates barriers rather than offering solutions to problems. Roles that help build strong groups and help groups make progress include being an encourager who praises and accepts all members' contributions, a harmonizer who arbitrates differences among group members, a gatekeeper who helps communication flow, including allowing all members to state their opinion, a standard setter who reminds members as needed of the goals and objectives of the group. In summary, roles that contribute to strong groups include a variety of positive and/or neutral actions within the group setting. A few negative roles within the groups include an aggressor, who disapproves of other members' values, statements, and perspectives; a blocker, who is extremely negative towards suggestions by others and who focuses the attention on his or her own accomplishments; a self-confessor, who tries to focus the attention of the team on his or her own unrelated personal comments. In summary, negative group members engage in activities that do not support a strong group. There are 5 stages often mentioned that groups go through as they are formed and do their work. They are orientation, conflict, cohesion, working, and termination. On the next few slides, we will cover these stages in more detail. Orientation, often referred to as forming, is the first stage groups go through. During this stage, members plan their work in their new roles as part of the group. It is at this stage that group members need to learn the basics of conflict resolution, effective communication skills, and the notion of group decision-making. Communication at this level includes safe, non-controversial topics like the weather and very little sharing of personal information such as family news or hobbies. The next 2 stages are conflict and cohesion. Conflict, often referred to as storming, is the second stage of groups coming together and can be recognized when the team faces interpersonal and social issues. This is where group members may experience frustration, anger, and overall conflict. It may be necessary for the group leader to address the conflict, but some conflict is a natural part of any group process. Effective leadership can guide the team members through this difficult period. Communication at this stage focuses on procedures for getting work done and group norms. Finally, the third stage is cohesion, often referred to as norming, when the group comes to a point where they reach agreement on goals and objectives. Communications in this stage include personal sharing such as vacation news, supportive, helpful comments, and minimal negative comments. The final two stages of a group coming together are working and termination. The fourth stage, working, also referred to as conforming, occurs when the team members are working together to achieve the objectives and goals. Communication noticed in this stage includes more positive comments, effective problem-solving suggestions, and more in-depth personal sharing, such as news about children. The fifth stage, termination, also referred to as adjourning, occurs at the end of the team's work. It may be due to completing all goals, or perhaps the allotted time for the group to work together is over. Communication at this stage surrounds expressions of feelings about the team's work, closure statements such as thanking others for their help, and a summary discussion of what the team accomplished. In any team, communication is critical for success. Communication networks consist of those who are sending a message, as a speaker would, and those who are receiving the message or listening to a speaker. Messages can also be communicated through email, phone, or posted notices. A small group or team may have a particular way or preference for how it shares information, both within the group and with others outside the group, such as management. Communication networks can look different depending on the group's preference, which may be based on the culture of the organization and/or the style of the group leader. For example, in one group, all information is readily shared with many senders and receivers, while others may formally and selectively control access to information with few senders and few receivers. A sociogram is a visual way of displaying team communication, showing who talks to or shares information with others. Lines with arrows drawn between circles representing team members indicate the flow and direction of the information, that is, the person sending the information and the person receiving the information. Thicker lines between group members indicate more frequent communication. Arrowheads indicate whether the communication is one- or two-way. In the diagram on the slide, you can see that Jackie and Kathy have frequent two-way communication, while Steve tends to be isolated and only communicates to Beth. Kathy is in a central position, indicating that she communicates with more people than those on the outer edge, such as Shaw or Frank. Sociograms can help show teams or groups and their communication patterns, which may be more open or less sharing, so that obstacles or problems with communication can be addressed and improved. In summary, in this lecture, we have addressed group communication in terms of its definition and characteristics. Moreover, we have discussed group goals, group norms, group objectives, and the cohesiveness of groups. Third, we have identified each stage of team communication, from initiating a team to completing a team. Finally, we have identified communication networks and their supporting sociograms.